You turn to the book of Daniel, the book of Daniel. Thank God one day we're going to fly away. We are going to fly away. We're going to be with the Lord. And He says, it's going to be that sweet by and by, pie in the sky. You better believe it's going to be better than that. Amen. It's going to be better than that. And that's why the Bible says, I have not seen, ear have not heard, neither in the heart of man the things that God prepared for them that love Him. And the Bible said He's able to do abundantly above all that we could ask or think. And no matter how great you could possibly think it's going to be better than that. Amen. And so Daniel chapter number 6 this morning, say amen when you found it. We'll know that you're there. Amen. Daniel chapter 6 is the last of the major prophets. And Daniel's life was such a great example of what a person who loves God, their life ought to be like. Now, we know there were no Christians in the Old Testament because Jesus Christ hadn't died. That's why they're called saints in the Old Testament and not called Christians. They weren't called Christians until the New Testament, the church in Antioch. That's where the term Christian comes from. But in the Old Testament, they were saints. They loved God. They believed in the Lord. And if they were around today, they would be called Christians because of their faith in God Almighty. And so, but there's a lot to be learned in the Old Testament from these men's lives and from women's lives. And so Daniel 6, amen, you found it. Look in chapter 6, verse number 1, verses 1 to 3. Notice what it says. It says, it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. And over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above all, above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. What I want to preach on this morning is this thought, Daniel, a desired man. Daniel, a desired man. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the word this morning. And God, I'm thankful that in Daniel's life, there was just something about him. He had a more excellent spirit. And so much so that the king desired, preferred him, and to put him over the whole realm. God, may there be something inside of each one of us this morning that people would, Lord, that they would be drawn unto us and drawn unto what we have and desire to have the very things that we have this morning. And God, I pray if there's anyone here this morning that doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, may they be drawn to the foot of the cross. May they be drawn by the sweet Holy Ghost and by the Spirit of God and other believers. And may the Holy Ghost work in their lives. Bless the Word. Help me to preach. And help us to learn this morning from Daniel's life. What a great saint that he was. And God, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I love the book of Daniel. I love the stories of Daniel. And because there's so much that we can learn from his life and pattern ourselves after his. I've said it many times and I'll say it again this morning. The New Testament tells us how to live. There's no doubt about that. You read the Gospels to the book of Revelation. It is doctrine and it tells you how to live. But the Old Testament shows you how to live. And boy, an example is worth 1,000 words, is it not? They say a picture is better than 1,000 words, and that's true. The example of the Old Testament, what people went through, is what helps us to live our lives. Now, that's why it's important to read your whole Bible and not just the New Testament, because the examples that are in the Old Testament, the practical illustrations that show us how to live, and each character in the Old Testament is an example of how to live and not to live your lives. Romans 15:4 says the things that are written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. There's not anything you're going through that someone in that Old Testament didn't go through themselves. You read that Old Testament, it's filled with intrigue, it's filled with drama, it's filled with sickness, it's filled with happiness, it's filled with death. It's filled with all kind of things. Everything that we could possibly go through, someone else has gone through it before you did. And the example of how they handled it, that's why the Old Testament is so important in each of our lives. And again, Daniel was a man that we could pattern ourselves after. You can't pattern yourself after everybody, right? But he was a man that we could pattern ourselves after because he was a dedicated man. No doubt about it. He was a dedicated man. He was a decent man. Where? Boy, that's hard to find decent people today, is it not? He was a different man different from everyone else. He was a devoted man. There was something about him. He was a man that was close to God, and he lived a clean life. And let me tell you, and no one could lay anything at his charge. No doubt about it. He would not defile himself. Chapter 1, it tells us about Daniel's life and his determination to be different from everyone else and to have a close walk with God Almighty. You know, the world says, when in Rome, do as the Romans do, right? But that wasn't Daniel's line. I know you got to get along in life, and he was in Babylon, but see, the great lesson here is he was in Babylon. He was in the world, the center of the world. He was in the world empire at that time, and he was subjected to every temptation, every problem, every pleasure. He was subjected to that, and he had to decide who and what he was going to be. And thank God, he was able to decide that in his life. You know, they say, well, if you got to go along to get along, you got to be like everyone else. Well, guess what? In Fiji, people walk around naked. If you went to Fiji, would you strip down, take off all your clothes? Would you do that? Would you? Some people would, but would that be the right thing to do? A guy asked me about visiting yesterday, and I had to laugh. He said, "Are you one of those come as you are churches?" And I said, "Well, I tell you what, I'm not gonna. I have never thrown anybody out because of their clothing, but I will say this: you know, I don't preach on clothing every week. I don't. You know, I don't. Right?" But he said, you know, I said, we did have some girls come in bikinis one time. Is that really what we want in the church? Do we really want people to come in their bathing suits and sit down next to our husbands and boys? Is that really what we want in the church? I don't think that's what we want in the church. And I said, so can you understand why I don't say come as you are? Because we don't want you to come as you are and go as you came. That's not what we want, right? We want you to come, experience God, walk with God, and leave here a changed person. Amen. That's what we want. Now, I will be honest. I have seen people come in green trash bags to our services. They have come. Wrapped up in green trash bags. That was all they had. They were naked. They wrapped themselves in a green trash bag. And I welcomed them into the church. But I'll tell you something. You know, what's the hope? That we would help them after that to do a little better than a glad trash bag, right? I just think to myself, hey, if the best is all you got, if all you got is a bikini, then that's fine. We'll get you a green trash bag. But if you understand what I'm saying? We should never give God less than our best. That's what I believe. Now, I ain't preaching on that. I just hit that. That was free. I don't know even where that came from. But here we are. We're preaching on something else this morning. Look in chapter 1. Chapter 1. You have to love Daniel's life because he's an example. Paul said, I made all things to all men that I might by all means save some. And I understand that. You got to conform to some things. But you got to condescend and come down socially and economically. But you do not have to compromise your faith. If you look in Daniel chapter 1, if you'll notice what it says there, in verse number 8, Daniel 1, and in verse number 8, it says this, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank, wherefore he requested the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Boy, that's a great lesson there, right? Remember all them commercials in Tennessee? Where's the wine? Where's the wine? It's Christian people doing it. Well, Daniel didn't want no wine. And he didn't want the king's meat nonetheless. He said, I'm not going to defile myself with these things. I'm not going to do it. He said, I'm going to be different than everyone else. Notice he went on to say, and the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who hath appointed your meat, your drink, for why should ye see your faces worse liking the children which are of your sort? Then shall ye make me endanger my head to the king. Then said Daniel to Melzar, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days, and give us pulse to eat and water to drink. Hey, you say, what are they doing there? You say, what's pulse? It's like grits. Cracked corn, it's grits. He said, give me some grits and give me some water and see if it don't work out all right. Well, of course, that's what they did, and it did work all right. And God did bless it. Everyone else is compromising. Everyone else is getting drunk, drinking the wine, eating the flesh, eating the swine, doing the things that are abomination to God. But Daniel did not. He said, I'm not going to do what everyone else is doing. He had courage. He had conviction. He said, I am not going to compromise. Look what it says on down there in verse number 17 or verse 16. And Melzar took away the portion of their meat and the wine that they should drink and gave them pulse. And as for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill and all learning and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. And you say, what happened? God blessed them for their stand that they took. They said, we're not going to compromise. We're not going to do what everyone else is doing. Notice what it says when they come before the king in verse 19, verse 20. It says, in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians, astrologers that were in his realm. And Daniel continued even the first year of King Cyrus. God blessed them. God blessed Daniel. No doubt God blessed him. And it was because he was a different man. Because he was a decent man. Because he was devoted. Because he was dedicated. It's no wonder that the king desired to place him over the whole realm. Now, as I preach on this thought this morning of being a desired man, again, why should we want to be like Daniel? What made him so desirable? I want you to notice this morning in our text in chapter 6, the first thing is that he was fruitful. Daniel was a fruitful man. Everything he touched, God blessed it. What an amazing thing. And Daniel 1 again, notice what it says in verse number 3. It says, then this Daniel was preferred above all the presidents and princes because the excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the realm. You know, Daniel was fruitful in his work. He was fruitful in his worship, and he was fruitful in his ways. No doubt about that. He had a reputation. And, you know, that's why Darius chose him. He had a reputation. Remember, when Darius took the kingdom, who was the third ruler in the kingdom that night when Darius took it over? Daniel was the third ruler in the kingdom. Daniel was the one who was giving information and giving counsel to Nebuchadnezzar and to Belshazzar and to his family. It was Daniel was the lead counsel of the day in the Babylonian kingdom. And Darius had heard of Daniel. And as soon as he had some interaction with Daniel, it didn't take him long to figure out there's something about this guy that we want him to be in charge of everything because God is with him. Remember the story of Joseph? We heard the story of Joseph this week in Vacation Bible School. And Pharaoh chose Joseph. Why? Because God was with him. And everything that Joseph touched, God blessed it. Hey, God blessed Potiphar's house. God blessed the prison. And then finally, God blessed the palace. Amen. And everything he did was blessed because God was with him. I don't know about you, I want everything I do to be blessed. I do. I don't want to be like that Peanuts character with walk around with a storm over top of his head, right? You know, some people are like that. Everything they touch, man, they don't have the Midas touch. It don't turn to gold. No, they got another touch. Everything they touch rottens down and falls apart, right? And those are not the kind of people I want to be around. Those people walking around where lightning's getting ready to strike them every second of the day. Hey, I don't want to hang around with that crowd because the curse of God is upon their life. I've seen a lot of people this last, hey, being in the ministry, you brush up with a lot of people. You brush up with people that are blessed and you brush up with people that are cursed. And then people that got the curse of God on their life, nothing goes right in their life. You know what I figured out? I don't want to be a part of what they're doing. You know, a lot of times what happens, you get it wrong with someone who's got the curse of God on their life, you'll get in trouble because the curse of God is on their life. Remember them poor sailors who sailed with Jonah? What did they do? Their only problem was they let Jonah get on the boat, right? If Jonah doesn't get on the boat, they don't lose everything. You let Jonah get on the boat, though, boy, you're losing it all. You got to be careful sometimes because some people got such a curse of God on their life that God is dealing with them that, hey, if you get them involved in your life and you're going to get what God is doing to them because you're what we call collateral damage, you're there. That's why the Bible says evil communications corrupt good manners. That's why you be careful who you let your kids run around with. That's why you be careful who you run around with. That's why you be careful where you go. Because sometimes you're just in the wrong place at the wrong time. I have seen Christian people that were doing absolutely nothing wrong, but they were in the wrong place at the wrong time. And next thing they knew, they were in handcuffs, calling me on the phone. Hey, man, I'm in jail. I said, what happened? I was in the wrong place at the wrong time. You say, what do? I said, sorry, you'll have to stay there. You say, why? Because you don't ever want that to happen again. They got to learn some lessons in life. Daniel was not that kind of person. He was fruitful in his life. And everything he touched was good. Everything he touched was blessed. And everything he did, God was with him. And what does the Bible say about us? In Colossians 1:10, it says that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. What are we supposed to be? We're supposed to be fruitful in every good work. Hey, you want everything you do to be blessed in your life. Can it be? Yes, it can. Daniel's life was blessed. But see, Daniel was walking with God every day. You walk with God every day, and you're going to have some blessings. Now, does that mean you're never going to have problems? Did Daniel have problems? Yeah. Daniel did go to the lion's den. Yes. Daniel was under the threat of death. Yes. But was God with him in every one of those situations? Yes, he was. Because he was fruitful. And he was blessed in what he did. That's how I want to be in my life. When we were in Trinidad, we had these people, we said they had blight. And everything they did, I'm telling you. You let them borrow your car, car broke down. You let them borrow a tool, they bring it back broken. Everything they touched, I'm not kidding you. Everything they touched turned to dust. Because we said, hey, the curse of God is on their life. They had this little saying there. They'd want to, in Trinidad, and this is true in the Caribbean, you can walk up to someone's house, they'll have fruit trees all over their house. All you got it all over their yard. All you got to do is walk up and say, hey, can I get a piece of fruit? And if they think you have the blessings on your life, they'll say, yeah, go pick it. But if they think you have blight, they'll say, don't touch the tree, for God's sake, don't touch it. I am not lying to you. There are some people that will pick a piece of fruit off the tree, and within days, that tree will dry down and come to absolutely nothing. They have got such the curse of God on their life. All they got to do is touch it. Pick a piece of fruit. And they're known for that. That's their reputation in the villages. They'll say, oh no, you can have it, but stay on that side of the fence. We'll get it for you. The curse of God is such on. You say, does that really happen? Yeah. You'd be surprised in different places in the world how God works because, hey, God's still doing miracles and God's still showing people what they are. And we don't see that in America anymore because no one in America has any faith of any kind. But you get in the islands, you get in places where God's doing, still doing things and mighty works, you say, my goodness, you see things like that. Man, when the devil comes around, everything the devil touches is cursed, is it not? And we would laugh because I've seen people, I've been in the yard and seen the neighbors and seen that this vagrant come along and say, oh no, you can have it, just don't touch it. And I just laugh, fall down laughing because, you know, they say, yeah, he has blight. And we would always joke around about that. We joke around with some of the guys in church say, hey, you got blight. You got a problem. But if you got a garden, you know what blight is. Black spot on the tomatoes and all that kind of stuff. But anyway, Daniel was not that kind of person. He didn't have a bad hand. He didn't have blight. He had the blessings of God upon his life. And that's what we want to have. I want to be like that. I want to have the blessings of God upon my life. I don't want to bring disaster and chaos everywhere I go. And some people do. That's their reputation. Daniel had a reputation for being fruitful to God. And, you know, it's what you're known for. What others think of you. It's not what you think of yourself. That's the problem. You know, you ever heard of this thing, a legend in your own time? And then we'd say, well, you're a legend in your own mind. It's not what you think of yourself that's important. It's what your reputation portrays you to be. You see, reputation is like super glue. It sticks to everything, right? That's why you got to guard your reputation. Young people, you got to guard your reputation. That's why I tell, and we live in the day of digital and internet and Facebook and Twitter and What's Donald Trump's worst enemy? Twitter. Because it gets on there and says stupid stuff all the time, right? Isn't that his worst enemy? Kids, you know what your worst enemy is? Facebook and Twitter. Because you get on there and say stupid stuff, and it will be on there forever. 30 years from now, people reminding you how stupid you were when you were a teenager. You know what the best thing you can do with Facebook and Twitter? That's right. Turn it off. You say, but, you know, we say curiosity killed the cat. My daughter Sarah would say, but satisfaction brought him back. Okay. Get on there and look at it, but don't make any posts. Don't post anything to it. Because, can I tell you something? All employers look for your Facebook accounts. They look at what you're putting on Twitter. They look at what your social media is, because it's why? It is your reputation. Aren't you glad Daniel had a good reputation? Daniel had a good reputation. He was fruitful in his life. You know what? That's what everyone in this room ought to want. A good reputation. Be fruitful like Daniel was. Can we look at the next thing this morning? Daniel fruitful in his works and his ways and fruitful in his worship. But can I say this? Daniel was faithful. He was faithful. Boy, it's hard to find a faithful man in the day in which we live. The Bible says, most every man proclaims his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find? Where's the faithful man and the faithful women today that God's looking for? Look in verse number 4. Notice what it says. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault for as much as he was faithful. Neither was there any error or fault found in him. He was faithful. Now, they wanted to get him because of envy and jealousy. But they said, we're never going to get him when it comes to his duties because he's faithful. He was faithful to his duties to the government. You know what? That's how every Christian ought to be. You know, should we not be faithful when it comes to our country and our duties? I mean, we shouldn't cheat on our taxes. We shouldn't. We shouldn't cheat when it comes to everything else in life that, you know, hey, we ought to honor God and honor our country and fly our flag and be patriotic. We ought to be, good Americans. Amen. You say, what was Daniel? Hey, he was good in the Medo-Persian kingdom. He fulfilled his duty just like he did in the Babylonian kingdom for King Nebuchadnezzar. And that's what we ought to be. They said, hey, this guy's faithful. He does what he's supposed to do. He does his job. Hey, when you go to work, you know what you ought to do? You ought to do your job. You ought to be the best employee they got. You know what that does? That says something good about God Almighty. Because you claim to be a Christian. It says something good about Fellowship Baptist Church because you're a member here. It says something good about your family. Because, hey, that's the reputation of your family. You know what I always hate to see when people at work, when they would cry and complain and be lazy and not do their job and do it halfway? I said, God help us, that's not the way to be. You know, if you're the best worker on that job site, if you're the best person they got, they will accommodate you any way they can to keep you there. That's the kind of person Daniel was. Hey, Darius said, we can't let this guy go. This is the best guy in the whole kingdom. We got to keep him around. Yeah, so what if he prays to a different God? So what if he has faith in Jehovah God? So what if he's a Jew? So what if he worships differently? This is the best guy in the whole kingdom. We got to keep him. Isn't that what Pharaoh said about Joseph? He said, who can find a faithful man like this who the Spirit of Almighty God is in him? And that's why Joseph was promoted to the top of the kingdom. Do you really think his brothers, if they'd have been in Egypt, would have got promoted? They couldn't even take care of their father's cattle, his father's goats, his sheep. They couldn't even do their job. They were never doing their job. Do you think Reuben, who was so unstable, could have ever reached the kingdom in Egypt? But Joseph did. And Daniel did because they were faithful in their duties. You're never going to reach the top of anything if you're lazy and good for nothing and go through life doing a halfway job. Hey, kids, when your mom asks you to sweep the floor, how about you really sweep it? When they ask you to take out the garbage, how about you tie the bag, put it in there way it's supposed to be, press the garbage down, and shut the lid on the can? You say, what is that? It's learning to be faithful. When it's time to cut the grass, make sure every blade of grass is cut. When it's time to weed eat, make sure every blade is weed eat it right. When it's time to wash the clothes, hey, make sure you wash them the right way. When it's time to wash the dishes, hey, for God's sake, get all the food off the dishes and get the glasses clean. You say, what? You're learning to be faithful in your duties.
Daniel was faithful in his duty. He was faithful in his daily business. He's governor. He's over the realm. He's got a job to do. You think Daniel's sitting in there with his feet up on the desk doing nothing? You know, everybody wants to be in charge, but nobody wants the responsibility that comes with it. You say, well, I want to pastor the church. God bless you. Here's the set of keys. This is what goes with it. Okay? We got three buses out there. Keys, there you go. Make sure you're on the bus. Hey, there's four keys here at all the buildings. Make sure you know how to run the vacuum cleaner. Make sure you know how to pick up trash. Make sure you know how to cut the grass. Hey, and by the way, there's visits that need to be made. Hey, when you get that call at 3 in the morning, make sure you get up and go do it. You say, what is that? It's called responsibility. Yes, there's great privilege, but there's great responsibility that goes with it. You say, I want to be president of the United States. Are you kidding me? Look at Barack Obama's gray hair and tell me you want to be president of the United States. Look what the presidency does to people who have it. It makes them old with responsibility. The weight of the whole world is on their shoulders. You want that job? Yo, we all want to sit behind the oval desk, but who wants that responsibility that goes with it? Who wants to get up at 5 in the morning and have briefings for what's taking place, what happened overnight, every day of the year? That's why those guys get old. That's why an old man going to the presidency can't hardly make it. I don't know how in the world Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton could possibly survive it. I mean, really look at them. And how could Bernie Sanders possibly survive that? In a way he could have survived. He's already ready. I mean, the hearse is riding behind him already. How in the world can he survive that? You know, you saw the pictures. You know, it shows a picture before and after, and then Bernie, they had a picture of him and then the casket, right? They, in a way, could survive it. But see, Daniel understood there's some responsibility here to be governor. You can say, well, I want to be my own person and I want to take care of myself. God bless you. You know, let me show you the one ads. Hey, taking care of yourself means you pay your own bills. You pay your own car insurance, you pay your own gas, you buy your own food, you wash your own clothes, you cook your own meals, you take care of yourself. And you don't come home and ask mom and dad to pay it for you. That's being faithful. Thank God, Daniel was a faithful man. He was faithful in his duties. He was faithful in his daily business. He was faithful in his devotion to God. We know that Daniel prayed 3 times a day. Thank God. Thank God he did. You know what Romans 12:11 says? It says, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. I had a terrible dream all night last night. I dreamed I was back at John Harlan Company. That was a nightmare. That was that check printing place I used to work at. And I was dreaming that we had to do 48 runs a day. And before we got these new presses, printing presses we had these old type print presses where they were direct print presses. They were mealies. They went up and down like this. They had a barrel. The checks ran through there. And it was the hardest work ever. And I had this dream that they were giving me the hardest work to do every day, all day long, and they were trying to fire me and make the work so hard that I couldn't possibly make it. And in my dream, I told them, I'm going to sue you, because you're making my life so miserable. I had that dream all night last night. I said, man alive, golly, that was a nightmare. I haven't worked at John Harlan's. I retired in May 28th of 1993. So, you know, I haven't worked a secular job for now for 14, is it 14? How many years is that? That's 93, 7. That's 23 years I haven't worked a secular job. I said, where did that nightmare come from? But the idea, when I was getting ready for this message, being fervent and faithful in business. Hey, how you conduct yourself is a pretty important thing. How you take care of your business is an important thing. You know? This thing of, hey, I'm going to be ugly for a second, so you humor me. But this thing, I'm not paying your stinking bills. Pay your bills. It's no one's job to pay your bills. It's your job to pay your bills. It's your job to pay your light bill and your water and your everything. It's your job to do it. There's no free lunches here. It's your job to pay off your credit card. It's your job to make your car payment. It's your job to pay those things. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Daniel was true, he was tested, and he could be trusted greatly. Thank God that he was. The Bible says, a faithful man shall abound with blessings. 1 Corinthians 4:2 says, moreover, it is required of a steward that a man be found faithful. Now, we may not always be liked, but thank God we ought to be respected because of our faithfulness. Luke 16:10 says, he that is faithful in least is faithful also in much, and he that is unjust in least is unjust in much. Wasn't Solomon says, so little foxes that spoil the vines? Hey, some little things we don't do right that spoil the vines. Be faithful. Be reliable. Be consistent. Be trustworthy. Show up on time. Do your job. Don't complain the whole time you're there. I already said this. Pay your bills. If you borrow something, return it. You know you love when people borrow something and they have it so long they think it's theirs? You'll be over their house and says, didn't I let you borrow that? No, that's mine. I've had that for 3 years. Yeah, but didn't you get it from me? It's not yours. You got it from me. Come on. I mean, be real here. If you borrow it, return it. If you break it, for God's sake, fix it. Don't you love when people borrow something, they bring it back broken? I used to let the guys in Trinidad, they never had anything. I'd let them borrow my stuff, and they'd come in, and they would come up very quietly and lay it down by the door and leave. And I come outside and I said, man, that's when did my salt come back? Okay. I said, well, okay. I said, you know what? Let me plug this thing in. Plug it in? Nothing. Nothing, just nothing. They did that to my salt. They did that to my drill. They did that. You say, because, hey, God forbid I should have to fix it after I broke it. You know, I'd have been happy if they just would admit it, they broke it. And they just said, Pastor, look, I broke it. I'm sorry. I know they couldn't replace it. There's no way they could afford to replace it. But they could at least say, I broke it. You know, you hate to need a saw and go out there and nothing happens when you need it. I said, just admit that you broke it. Just say, I'm sorry, I broke it. Hey, you break something at church? Fine. Things break. Things happen. You're driving the van and you wreck it. Hey, just don't pull the van back up and get out and go home and let me see it tomorrow. I'm not going to be. You seen the Allstate commercial, right? The guy comes out in the morning, the car's all busted up. He looks up and says, oh my God, what is that? The car's all dented up. Hey, that's not nice. You break it. Own up to it. Right? You know, is it that hard to admit that you broke something? It's not that, I mean, come on. I'm not that hard a guy. Now, I used to be, but I'm not anymore. I'm a grandpa now. Pawpaws are not that hard. The boys will tell you. Pawpaws are not that hard. But I'm telling you, when I was younger, I might have been explode over something. No, I'll explode over that. Hey, you come in and tell me you wrecked. Okay, fine. We'll do something about it. But you understand what I'm saying here. Own up to it. Have enough faithfulness in your life to own up to your own problems. And don't blame everyone else in the world for it. You know how we do? We blame, well, you know, I did that, but no, but nothing. You did that. Let's just stop there and I'll be happy. See, Daniel's a faithful man. What are we supposed to be? Faithful. Be faithful. Hey, you say you're going to do something? For God's sake, why don't you just do it? You know, I love when people, I'm pastor, people, Pastor, I'll do that, Pastor, I'll do that, and I'm really expecting you to do it until I realize you're really not going to do it. And I'm thinking, why did they tell me they were going to do that and then they didn't do it? I'd rather you didn't tell me you were going to, I'd rather you surprise me and do it without telling me you're going to do it and not do it. Right? But if you tell me you're going to do it, for God's sake, would you please do it? Now, hey, I'm a pastor, I know. Lisa tells me, he said, hey, you know what you told that person on the phone? I got a million things in my mind. I get off the phone. I said, right, boy, I don't know what I told him. Did you hear what I told him? She said, you don't know what you told those people? I said, no, I really don't know what I told him. I can't remember what I told him. I hope I didn't tell him I was going to be there in an hour because that's impossible. But, yeah. Right? I'm pastor. I got to be careful about that because I promise, I'll promise 10 people the same thing on the same day. And they said, hey, well, how are you going to do that? You're not Superman. You can't do all that. And I said, man, why did I? And, you know, then you got to start making them calls saying, look, but I understand what you're saying. I understand that. You know, when you tell someone you're going to do something, they're actually expecting that you're going to do it. Amen. Unless your reputation is that you're never going to do anything you say. Some people say, I'm going to do that, and I think in my mind, sure they are. Sure they are. I'll believe it when I see it. Sure you are. Uh-huh. Yeah, right. Uh-huh. You know, we say when pigs fly and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, sure, it ain't going to happen. See, Daniel wasn't that kind of person. When Daniel said he was going to do something, bless God, he was going to do it. And he did do it. And that's why he got to where he was. That's what we need to be. You know, it's like your kids say, hey, did you do your homework? Yeah, I'm going to do that homework. Uh-huh. Sure you are. You mind if I look at that? I got three boys at the house. You mind if I look at that? Christopher, Sarah, and Rebecca. You know, one time, hey, Sarah hadn't done her spelling. Sarah had not done her spelling her junior year. She had not done her spelling for 3 months. And one day I said, you do your spelling? She said, yeah. She said, good, bring it here. I want to look at it. You should have seen the look on her face. That was worth $1 million just to see the look on her face because she knew she was busted. She brought her spelling book and, Rebecca, you got to do every page. I said, yeah, let me look at it. I said, you didn't do it, did you? I said, you know what? I start flipping the pages. 3 months of spelling is a lot of work. You know what she did the next 5 days? She did 3 months of spelling. You say, what'd you do? I learned her a lesson. You say, what was that lesson? If you tell me you're going to do it, and you tell me you did it, bless God, you better have done it. Guess what I did the rest of the school year? She had to come show me her work every day. Because I said, you know what? You didn't do your spelling. What else didn't you do? You talk about horror now, a horror on her face. I said, bring me all your work. Bring it all here. Well, guess what? Not only has she not done her spelling, she had not done quite a few other things. And I said, well, it's time to have school. And you're going to have school every day till your schoolwork is done. He said, Brother Chris, are you really that mean? I'm 3 times meaner than that. I said, yeah, you're going to do your work. There's one thing I don't like to, there's one thing I can't stand is to be lied to. I don't like to be lied to. Do you like to be lied to? I don't like to be lied to. You know, if you don't like to be lied to, then don't be lying to everybody else. Because that's a bitter pill that'll come around and bite you. And bite you hard. Don't go around telling them tales. And, you know, one thing the king knew, Daniel was never going to lie. He was faithful. He was going to tell the truth. Boy, that'll go a long, long way. Hey, you teenagers don't want to lie to your mom and dad all day? I'm going to laugh when your kids are lying to you. Not am I going to laugh, I'm going to laugh hysterically and fall down laughing funny. When Liam and Lucy and Caleb and Chloe tell that big one to Christopher and Melissa and to Sarah, boy, I fall down laughing. I said, that's great. Go tell them another one. You know, I said, you deserve that, every bit of that. I said, that's the biggest whopper they ever told. It's hilarious. And you have to fall down laughing. She says, Dad, that's not funny. Because Dad, that's not funny. I said, no, it's hilarious. I love it. Hey, you're reaping what you sow, kid. You go on and tell them lies to mom and dad and wait till your kids start doing it to you. I'm telling you, Paw Paw and Grandma are going to laugh. Hysterically. You know, it's always funny when someone else is doing it and it's not your own. Never funny when it's your own, is it? Hey, it's never funny when it's your own sneaking around on the phone and sneaking around doing... That's not funny then, is it? I said, I told my teenagers, you go ahead and sneak around, but I'm going to laugh when it comes around. I'm going to laugh. I said, hey, I'm going to give all my grandkids a hot rod car, let them peel off and speed and get that speeding ticket, and I'm going to laugh. I said, hey, kid, go here. Let me show you how to do a burn off. I was telling that to Lucy and Liam, and boy, Sarah was getting mad. I said, why are you getting so mad? Isn't that what you did with our car when you were out? They're not going to do it with your car. I'm going to give them a car to do it with. But you'll have to go get them out of the pokey, not me. And I'm going to sit at home and smile. I joke around with them like that. Boy, they get mad in a hurry. I said, yeah, it was all fun and games when you're doing it. It was all fun and games when you're breaking all my rules, but it's not fun and games no more, is it? You kids better think about that. More heck you give your mom and dad, the more heck you're going to get when you have your own, and you're not going to like it. Learn to be faithful. Thank God. Thank God. He was fruitful and he was faithful. He was faultless. You say, was he faultless? Faultless in the sense that he did everything he was supposed to do. That's what it does say there in verse number 4. They could find no fault in him. No error, no fault. Verse 5, then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. I mean, he had done some things right in his life. His service to God, his service to man, his station in life, he was steady in his... Everything he did was right. That's the way it ought to be. The Bible says, but if you suffer righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you the reason of hope that is within you with meekness and fear. Having a good conscience that where they speak evil of you as evildoers, that they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. For it is better for the will of God to do so if you suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. And then Peter went on to say this, if you reproach for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and God rests upon you on their part. He's evil spoken of, on your part he's glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, as a thief, or as an evildoer, as a busybody in other men's matters. But if he suffers a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. Hey, if you suffer for righteousness' sake, God bless you. But if you suffer because you're a good-for-nothing, lazy, good-for-nothing bum, God help you. Hey, we ought to practice what we preach. Amen. And be real in our life. That's why Christianity is suffering in America. So many people name the name of Christ, do not live the Christian life. They're doing something else altogether. Remember what Pilate said about Jesus? I find no fault in him. Hey, we ought to be faultless to a certain extent. When someone says, well, they're a hypocrite, that shouldn't be true. When someone says, well, they don't love anybody, that shouldn't be true. When someone says, hey, they're not much of a Christian, that shouldn't be true. But God help us when it is true. They said, Daniel, hey, we're not going to, he's doing everything right. Wouldn't it be nice if we could go through life doing everything right? Teenagers, oh man, what a relief of mind if you guys could just do everything right. Your house would be a lot happier, would it not? Would it not be your house be a lot happier? Would not your life be a lot happier? I mean, really, do you really enjoy all the yelling and the fighting and the contention and the going to bed angry? Do you really enjoy all that? Wouldn't it be nice if you just did everything right? I know all mom and dad can say amen. I hate confusion. I hate to have angry words before it's time to go to bed. I hate to go to bed with all the acid reflux and all the nonsense because, hey, it wasn't a happy time before you went to bed. Wouldn't it be nice if everybody in church just did everything right? Wouldn't that be nice if everybody in church just did everything right? Man, what a great thing that'd be if every Sunday school teacher just did what was right. Wouldn't that be a great thing if the preacher would just do what's right? If the deacons just do what's right? Hey, if the nursery worker, just everybody do what's right, guess what? Man, it's a happy place, is it not? But see, that's the problem. See, Daniel, you say, can it be done? Daniel did it. Joseph did it. All kinds of people in the Bible did it. It can be done. Husbands would just do what's right. If wives would just do what's right, boy, wouldn't the home be a lot happier? The home would be a lot happier. Daniel was an example of how to do it right. And lastly, we can say this about Daniel. He was fearless. He was fearless in his testimony. Verse number 10, when it was time, he wasn't allowed to pray. Verse 10, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went to the house, and his windows being open, his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Hey, Daniel, the Bible says evening, morning, and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. Daniel wasn't afraid. He said, I'm going to do what's right. It was right to pray before they signed the agreement. It'll be right to pray after they sign it. Hey, Christians have got so cowardly. They think, well, I can't take my Bible to school. Yeah, you can. No one can tell you can't take your Bible to school, and no one can tell you can't pray anywhere, anytime.
Amen.
We don't need a constitutional amendment putting prayer in the schools. Every child can take prayer to the schools. Every teacher can pray. Every Christian can be, hey, I used to pray at work. Always prayed at work. Took my Bible to work. Hey, what's the problem? You see, you have to grow a little backbone.
Amen.
You got to grow a little spine. You can take your Christianity everywhere. I wish Christians, and I don't want to get on this, but I wish Christians would get more excited and more worked up over Jesus Christ than they do the rebel flag.
Amen.
I'm serious. Every nut job in the world put a rebel flag in there. Okay, why don't you put a Bible verse in your yard next to that? Why don't you put "You must be born again" in your front lawn? Put that next to that crazy rebel flag. Now, I'm not beating a dead horse here. Hey, I understand heritage. I understand the South. I understand all that. But my goodness, what's more important to you, the rebel flag or Jesus Christ? Obviously, it's the rebel flag. And that's wrong. If I'm going to fly anything, I'm going to fly my Christianity first. We all ought to say amen right there. Amen, amen, and amen. If I'm going to have a big conversation, it's not going to be about the flag. It's going to be about Jesus Christ and a person's need of believing in Him so they can go to heaven instead of hell.
Amen.
But boy, we get crazy, do we not? And we'll fight over the dumbest things and forget about what's so important, where a person's going to spend eternity. Thank God Daniel had it right. That's why he was a desired man. He was fruitful. He was faithful. He was faultless. And he was fearless. The Bible says, yea, all of the godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But hey, Daniel didn't care. He said, I'm going to serve God. He went to the lion's den. But hallelujah, he came out on the other side. And God was with him. The Bible says, God will not give us a spirit of fear, but of love and power and a sound mind.
Amen.
The Bible says, fear not him that can destroy the body, but fear him that can destroy both the soul and body in hell.
Amen.
Thank God for his example. Thank God for the example that he had in his life. He wasn't forsaken. God was with him. God was with him. The Bible said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor a seed begging bread. God was with him. He was delivered. The king decreed that there was no God like his, and Daniel prospered in the kingdom. But see, Daniel gave himself to the Lord. He gave himself to the Lord. Matthew 6:33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. When you give yourself to Christ, then God takes care of everything else. You know what the problem is? So many people have never given themselves to Jesus Christ. They hold on to all the fake stuff and all the nonsense and all the meaningless stuff and never give what God really wants. What's the great commandment? To love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, thy soul, and thy mind. To love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, thy soul, and thy mind, and have no other gods before me. The second commandment is likened unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Those are the two great commandments. You say, what does God want? He just wants to be first in your life.
Amen.
He was first in Daniel's life, and Daniel's life panned out pretty good. But see, people hold on to all the nonsense. I may have told this before. I probably did. I'm getting old. Get old, you start telling the same stuff, but it came to mind. There's a little girl one time, her daddy gave her some string of fake pearls. And who likes, what little girl doesn't like pearls? One day, daddy came home and said, honey, I want you to give me them pearls. She said, no, daddy, I'm not giving you. Those are my pearls. He said, no, I want you to give them to me, honey. She said, no. So for the next 5 days, he came home at night and she hid, stayed in her room, wouldn't come down to talk to him. Because she was holding on to them fake pearls for dear life. On the fifth day, Daddy came in and she came in weeping and crying. Says, Daddy, I'm sorry. Daddy, I'm so sorry. But I love these pearls. I'm so sorry. But I love you more than I love these pearls. And she gave him the fake pearls. You know what Daddy did? He reached in his pocket and gave her a real set of pearls. God has something real for you, but you've got to give him what's not worth anything. Let go of your sin. Let go of your pride. Let go of all the nonsense in your life. And give God your life, your soul, your heart, your mind. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And He'll have something better for you than you've ever thought or imagined.
Amen. Amen.
People are afraid to come to Jesus Christ. Afraid to let go of their sin. And afraid to let go of their of what they call their freedom. And afraid to let go of their religion. Afraid to let go of all these things. But if they'd only come to Jesus Christ, their whole life would be so blessed and be so different.
Amen.
They'll hold on to the trash for dear life, and it's not worth anything. I've seen people hold on to their drugs and their alcohol and their party lifestyle and hold on to all this stuff that's making them so miserable. If they let go of all the nonsense and give their life to Jesus Christ, their whole life would be turned around for the better.
Amen.
Let go of that fear. Let go of that shame. Let go of that anger. Let go of them things that are keeping you from coming to Jesus Christ. And get something that God really has for you. Forgiveness and a new life. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, a new creature, old things pass away, behold, all things are become new. And God has that for everyone who asks for it. Let's stand for prayer.